Okay, so this is a continuation. Hello, how are you? This is a continuation of a series which we have been doing, which I've been looking at the word encouragement. We've looked at encouragement and possibilities and stuff like that, especially coming from the book of Jeremiah. I want to go back to Jeremiah again this morning in a moment. With this series, just to let you guys know, we do put our sermons up online. We got to 20,000 the other day. And there's someone in Singapore, I don't know who they are, but they've been following the series. It's interesting, isn't it, that you can put the word of God out and you might not know who's listening, so just pray that it might be a blessing to them, at least that. But I want to bring you this thought again on the idea of encouragement in light. I want to talk to this morning, particularly as Christians, is that one thing that we have is the light of God's word. We have the light of an understanding, I suppose, of creation or the understanding of salvation and those things. So I want to sort of look at that this morning in particular here. I'll just find this in 2 Timothy here. This is the Apostle Paul. He's been giving Timothy a charge. Now, Timothy's going to be a preacher. He's, and I suppose Paul's his mentor, you could say, which we'll look at in a moment. And he's been preparing Timothy to preach the word. And he says, I charge thee therefore, that's in 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee that therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. He says, preach the word, be in season, out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, of course, this will fit in with what we're been talking about. But he says in verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now a fable is, there are different meanings or definitions of a fable, but a fable is a story or a false story or a fantasy or something that is not true, you could say. And I want to have a look at the word here dealing with the word fable, and the very fact that what Paul is telling Timothy, he's saying, listen, Timothy, I want you to preach the word. It doesn't matter whether it's a good time to do it or a bad time to do it. The word of God doesn't change, amen. It doesn't matter whether, you know, that's one thing that we have. We have the preserved word of God. We have a Bible. It doesn't matter what happens in this world, this thing stays the same. Would you agree? And so the idea then is that you take the word of God and you're preaching. Now, the word of God is for the very reason to give the message of God to us. Now, there's one thing that, I think it's misunderstood today, is that God doesn't hide his message from people. He doesn't hide it. It's not hid. God's always given light, no matter what age you live in, according to his will or his, it'd be his will. So let's come back over here to Jeremiah. We'll go back over to Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, as you know. Jeremiah was the messenger to tell Israel that they were to go into Babylon because what had been prophesied in the Old Testament, well, more so Isaiah and Micah had prophesied that the nation Israel had committed adultery in the promised land, you could say, idolatry, sorry. They'd gone into a place of darkness. They had disobeyed the commandments that God had given them. And, of course, we don't have time to go through all the things that they did. They were to do certain things like keep the land and so forth. But the point was is that now there was a time here under Jeremiah that judgment was going to be taken upon the nation Israel, and God had raised up or was going to use the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was to be his servant at that time where God judged the nations, but because Israel had also got caught up in this, they were going to be judged. So Jeremiah then is the prophet. He's in Jerusalem. He's in Judah. He's the one telling them that they must now go off into Babylon. Now, could you imagine if that was the message for us today, that God said, right, listen, guys, I'm going to judge Australia. Maybe he has. And I want you to move to New Zealand, you know. But whatever the case is, it's something very similar to that. So let's pick this up here in Jeremiah. Go back to chapter 28, Jeremiah 28. Now, so Jeremiah was the prophet. He was the weeping prophet. We've gone over that. We've looked at Jeremiah. He suffered for the very fact that this was the message that God had given him to give. There was a time when he didn't want to speak, but he could do nothing but speak. And every time he did speak, and he did do that, he ended up in the court of Zedekiah's prison there. He was in the dungeons, and all these things were happening to him. But here in Jeremiah verse 28, and it came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. So I want to look at Zedekiah. Now, Zedekiah is a king. I want you to keep in mind the word fable, because that's what's going to end up happening to him, of Judah. In the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. So Jeremiah is still in. This was the first invasion. Second invasion, everything will be carried away. Here is Hananiah. He's a false prophet. He turns up. He says that in 2 years' time that God is going to bring all the vessels back into the house of God again, back into the temple. And he says in verse 4, and I'll bring again to this place Jehoiakim, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. So what Jeremiah is saying here, listen to the false prophet, it sounds pretty good that in 2 years everything's going to be restored. But was that Jeremiah's message? No, it wasn't, was it? So we have a false prophet. And Jeremiah, I think, is being a little bit sarcastic. He's saying, Amen. It sounds really good. You know, a preacher said to me, he said, Simon, you know that not all good preaching is the truth. I got to thinking about that. That's pretty true. So it sounded good, but it wasn't true. That wasn't going to happen. And then what happens here is that, so in verse, I think there's the prophets that have been, let me just pick this up. Yeah, then verse 10, then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and he brake it. And verse 12, and then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, so Jeremiah must have been wearing a yoke. It was a sign to Israel that they were to yoke up, they were to submit unto the king of Babylon. That's what yoke means. You remember the Lord said, take my yoke, for it, I'm easy. It's a, you yoke up with somebody. And so what's happened here, Jeremiah was wearing this yoke. Hananiah, the false prophet, had broken it. Verse 13, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. And for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all of these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts, the fields also. So here we do see really where God is in control of the nations here, in this point here. And then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord have not sent thee. And this is important to keep in mind, because God had not sent him, but thou makest this people to trust in a what? A lie. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from the face of the earth this year, and thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. So therefore, when you look at the Old Testament, and all the Old Testament was, these things were written for our admonition. That's why we have the Old Testament. It's for our learning. It's for our understanding. That Jeremiah was one of the prophets rising early. God had told Jeremiah in chapter 1, he says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So when you look at the prophet in the Old Testament, if God had touched Jeremiah's mouth, whose word was Jeremiah speaking? God's word. Okay, it's not profound, guys. He was speaking God's word. It was God's message, okay? And that message was to go under Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And that was the word of God. Hananiah wasn't sent. He brought in a false message so the people would trust a lie. So therefore, when you consider this, the word of God then is so much important for us as believers to trust in his word. Let's come over to Jeremiah chapter 32 for a moment. Let's see where we are. Jeremiah 32:27, the Lord says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans. So God was making very clear that the word that Jeremiah was preaching was God was going to fulfill what he had sent Jeremiah to tell the people to go into Nebuchadnezzar, to go there. And then come over to 33:2. If you run this down for a moment, I read you from verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying. Now, Jeremiah ends up in the prison in the court of Zedekiah the king. The reason he ends up in prison, they were going to kill him, which they did with a lot of the other prophets. But Zedekiah saved his life, yet locked him up in prison. If you remember last week, we looked at the fact that because he was locked up, that Baruch came along and he was the scribe, and he had taken the words of Jeremiah and written them down, took it into the temple, took it into the streets of Jerusalem. Remember then, Jehoiakim, he heard the words. What did he do with that? What did he do with that scroll? Cut it up. Yep. Burnt it, right? So he got rid of the word of God. Happens the second time. Have you ever noticed that the word of God is always under attack in some way? But here, old Jeremiah, he's locked up. And then the God comes to him in verse 2, and thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof. And I want you to consider what the Lord says about himself here. The maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Just keep something in mind, you know, that the world that we live in, God formed it, he's established it, he set it up, the same as it is with the word of God. And God comes to Jeremiah and he's going to show Jeremiah that nothing's going to break the covenant that he's made with Israel. Nothing's going to break the covenant that he's made with Jeremiah to go and tell the people to go to Babylon. Come over to the last couple of verses of the same chapter. Notice what God uses here and shows Jeremiah concerning the word of God. Let me just find that exact verse. And 24. So verse 24. Comes along here and says, consider not thou not what this people have spoken, saying, two families which the Lord have chosen, he have even cast them off. Thus have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. But thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night. So notice what the Lord says here. He says, if my covenant, that's an agreement, be not with the day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. You know what the Lord basically said to Jeremiah? If I haven't set the ordinances, the day and night, so the sun comes up every morning, it goes down every night, amen. If I haven't set up those ordinances, then it's the same as my covenant. You can't break the ordinances that God has set. You're not going to break my covenant either. And the covenant that God had made was that there was a promise to Israel. And that promise was, you go into Babylon, you're going to be safe. You're going to be there for 70 years. You will prosper. And then also God gives them the promise that they'll come back to where? To Israel again. And remember a couple of weeks ago, we did the illustration of the buying of the land, and that they would come back into the land of Israel again and they would re-inhabit it again. And God gives them the promises. And what Jeremiah's message is, obey the Lord, go under this king here, this heathen king, you'll be okay, and I will bring you back into that land. And then God is ensuring Jeremiah, listen, as much as I've set the ordinances of day and night, my covenant will not be broken. Amen. Do you understand something really wonderful here? That when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that cannot be broken? Because that is the Word of God. And I know I'm not really well this morning to put this together quite right, but that's the essence of when you study Jeremiah. And And poor old Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, and he suffered for giving the word of God to the people. Now, come over to 37. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 37. And I want to pick up King Zedekiah. Now, King Zedekiah, he's the king at this time. God had told him at one place that he was to go into Babylon and he would see his days out. Now, here in, say, in chapter 37, we'll pick it up in verse 4, talking about this king. Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. So Jeremiah at this point in time is out of the king's court. And because the reason he's out of the king's court is because of verse 5, then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. When the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say to the king of Judah that sent you in unto me to inquire of me, Behold, Pharaoh's army which has come forth to help you shall return to Egypt into their own land, and the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city, take it and burn it with fire. Now what's basically happened here is that the world's turned up, that's Egypt. They've come up, and Israel's thinking at the moment, well, here comes Pharaoh, so we're going to be safe from the hands of the Chaldeans, right? That's what's basically happening, right? And so therefore that would mean then that God's word is going to be broken. But the Lord says, no, that's not going to happen. Verse 9, thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves. So he says, just because Pharaoh and his armies have come up, deceive not yourselves, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though he had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, there remain but wounded men among them. Excuse me, he should then rise up every man in his tent and burn the city with fire. The whole idea then is that they think, well, here comes Pharaoh, and Jeremiah, your message is not going to be fulfilled because we're going to be safe because Egypt's turned up on our door, but God tells them, be careful, that's not going to happen. Come over to down to verse 15. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him, put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon, into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. here comes the king again, takes him out, and asked him secretly in his house and said, Is there any word from the Lord? It's kind of funny here, you know. Is there any word from the Lord, old Jeremiah? And Jeremiah said, There is. For said he, Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, What have I offended thee? Or against thy servants, or against this people, that ye have put me in prison? Where are now your... And notice what Jeremiah says to Zedekiah, Where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, The king of Babylon shall not come again against you, nor against this land? You know, Jeremiah is saying to Zedekiah, Where's your false prophets, the ones you believed in? The Hananiah said, you know, the Lord's going to come in 2 years and deliver us. You know, listen to me, there's no difference today, because even Peter says, he said this in 2 Peter, he said, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, because they chose to believe a lie. Don't ever think that just because there were false prophets back then, there's not false prophets now. Well, there are. And nothing has changed as far as that's concerned. And so old Jeremiah here, he's back down in the prison again, and he pleads to Zedekiah, and Zedekiah does take care of him and puts him in the court of the prison till the Chaldeans come. So he's put back. Now come over to chapter verse 14 of chapter 38. Okay, so where are we? Verse 14. Then Zedekiah the king sent, took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Okay, here he goes again. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So this is what Jeremiah is saying to this king. Okay, listen, king, will you listen to me? So Zedekiah the king swear secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, As the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt surely go forth unto the king of what? Babylon, Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burnt with fire, and thou shalt live, and thine house. Okay? So what is Zedekiah to do with what Jeremiah is saying? Hearken. Hearken to what I'm telling you to do, Zedekiah. And if you do, it's all going to work out really nicely. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given to the hand of the Chaldeans. Verse 19, and Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I'm afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me. You know what? Zedekiah was, all he was concerned about, whether he was going to be mocked because he listened to Jeremiah. I mean, the man's a fool. I would have listened to the prophet. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee. So it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought before the king of Babylon, princes, and those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and prevail. And it goes on. Now just come over to 39 verse 4. So Zedekiah didn't hearken. He didn't listen. It came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the king's garden by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. So did Zedekiah give himself to the princes of Babylon, or did he flee? He fled. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. When they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah. So now he's lost his sons in Riblah, or not sure how you pronounce that. Therefore, his eyes also, the king of Babylon, slew all the nobles of Judah before Zedekiah's eyes. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him in chains to carry him to Babylon. See, Zedekiah, he becomes a fable. It's a story of a man who wouldn't hearken to the word of God. What happened to Zedekiah? He lost everything, and yet he could have been saved, and he could have lived, and so forth. You say, what are you talking about, Simon? Well, a lot of people become fables. Christians end up disobeying the word of God. They don't hearken to it. They get around the false prophets, or they get around the false type of Christianity that is much around today. And I'll put it like this to you, that a lot of Christianity today is not real. It's not true. What do you mean? Well, the only real truth that we have is that when you trust in Christ, where are you going? To heaven, amen. So, what then is the need for all this other stuff? Well, now we live in a time where people don't want the light from God's word. Let me explain. The source of light for the believer is from God's word. Would you agree with me? That's where we get our light from. I don't get my light from how I feel about something or how I think about it. Zedekiah rejected the light God gave him from the mouth of the prophet. Would you agree with that? And if you read that passage, you will see a lot more in it that Zedekiah had no excuse, but he'd rather be concerned about being mocked rather than humbling himself as a king and listening to the prophet of Jeremiah. His life ends up as a fable. It becomes a lie. It becomes something that it was never meant to be. You know, it's amazing to me. It wasn't God who did that to Zedekiah. Who did it to Zedekiah? Zedekiah did by not hearkening to the word of God. You see what I mean? And you know, the funny thing is today that we live in a time when I believe that what's happened now is that people don't believe that light comes from the word of God. So we have now what we would say, probably, in a sense, this. There is no real final authority. What do you mean? Well, a lot of people say, well, God is a spirit. Well, that's true, he is. We can't see him. The Lord said that God was a spirit and he was seeking those that would worship him in spirit and in truth. But the other side to that is that they will say also that there is no final authority that can be seen, heard, read, felt or handled. Well, I disagree with that. Because as we've been looking at, if God gives us promises, which he has, where does he put the promises? There, right, okay. But if he can't preserve the word of God, he can't give us his promises. Would you agree? So we do have a final authority. Can I read it? Can I feel it? Yes, amen. And this is the whole problem, because nowadays people don't want the light from God's word. They would rather they'd rather run on the idea, well, the Holy Spirit of God told me. Well, I'm glad he did, but can you at least show me something of what he said from the Bible? Otherwise, it could be false. God has never let man alone in the dark. Come over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. So John chapter 1, it is a favourite passage really of mine. It's dealing with the Lord. And we'll go to verse 9. I'll pick it up in verse 6 just to put in context. So John chapter 1 verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the what, everyone? The light, that all men through him might believe. So Jesus Christ is called the light. John was come to bear witness of that. He was not that light, that's John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Isn't that an amazing verse? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can you see there that Jesus Christ is the light? And what happened then with the light? It became what? The Word. The Word was manifest. And we beheld his glory, it says, over in 1 John. You never can separate the light that God gives you from the Word of God, just as much as Jesus Christ is the light who becomes the Word. And the funny thing is that it's not the light that we receive from God's Word that can be under attack. It's the Word itself that's under attack. Because the Word of God is something you can feel, see, and believe. Would you agree with me? That's the problem. I mean, it was manifest. Jesus Christ wasn't manifest. You wouldn't have seen him. You couldn't have felt him. You couldn't have followed him. That's the problem. Once you tell someone that you've got the Word of God in your hands, all of a sudden the light of God's Word is in your hand. It's manifest. You know, people don't... See, a lot of times people think... A lot of times being preaching, I often get attacked. It's not me they're attacking. It's the manifestation of the Word of God, because that's what people don't like. It's when the Word of God is manifest. Now, if the Word of God is manifest, and Jeremiah was a prophet and had the Word of God burning in his mouth, and he went around to a nation that needed to go unto King Babylon, and he was the prophet of the day, and the Word of God was through Jeremiah, and there was a witness to it, and the promises given, and yet Zedekiah the king wouldn't humble himself, and he didn't hearken to the word that God had given through Jeremiah, and yet Zedekiah ended up in a worse state because he didn't hearken unto it. Isn't it amazing that even so much today that we have the Word of God, hear it right ears, and yet people won't hearken to it? That's what he's saying to Timothy. He says, listen, preach the Word in season, out of season. It doesn't matter, because maybe someone might just hear it and believe, amen? And what is the reason? What is the reason for preaching the Word of God? Huh? So people can get what? Saved, amen. Because that's the message. It's not another message. This is what's really, it's beginning to bother me today. I left a church of 300 people. Do you know that when that church began, they used to preach on salvation? If you went there today, you wouldn't even hear the word salvation. You say, what did they do? They changed it to worship. Now, you need to get saved before you worship. Would you agree with me? Because the message is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again. It hasn't changed. You say, what is the reason for the light of God's word? Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what's the reason? Well, here's the reason. Verse 3 says, but if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach, not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You say, what is the reason to preach the word of God? Because of the God of this world. Notice what the God of this world has done. He's blinded the minds of them which believe what? Not. Well, how are you going to become a believer if no one ever comes along and tells you? Who are you up against? The God of this world. Do you think the God of this world likes preaching? Do you think the God of this world likes you to preach Jesus Christ? No, amen, he doesn't. Because he's blinded the minds of them which believe not. But isn't it an amazing thing that when you believed, God opens your eyes to the understanding of Jesus Christ. Come over with me for a moment. The source of light is from God's Word. You know, we live in a time where I think we live in a time where people don't really believe that, don't understand that we do live. It's not our kingdom. We're not home yet. Satan is the god of this world. He still is. Since you've been saved, what light that you do you have that you really want to hold on to? Have you ever noticed sometimes the light that you have from the Bible can be under attack? Follow with me for a moment on this. In 1 Timothy 1:3, I'll go back to Timothy again. Now, Timothy was to be charged. He was to go off to be a preacher. Now, I want to just show you a couple of quick thoughts here. So Paul sends Timothy to Crete. He says to Timothy this, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." So Paul sends Timothy down to Ephesus. For what reason? That they do what? Teach no other doctrine. What is Paul doing? He's protecting the word of God. He's telling Timothy, you be careful that those Jews don't come in and start to teach contrary to the doctrine that Jesus Christ has died for our sins and was buried and rose again. Come over to 2 Timothy 3:8 for a moment, and this will come back to 1 Timothy. So 2 Timothy 3:8. Notice he says here, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they all shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men as theirs also was." But he says to Timothy, notice in verse 10, he says, "But thou hast fully known," so think about the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, and was persecuted and endured, but out of them the Lord delivered me." So what Paul is saying to Timothy, you know my manner of life, you know my doctrine, you know my purpose, you know the faith, you know my long suffering. I want you to go down to when I send you down to Ephesus, I want you to keep that in mind, and I want to make sure that when you're down there that there'll be no other doctrine taught. You say, "What do you mean, Brother Simon?" Well, doctrine is connected to the message of God. Would you agree? So there's a protection on the doctrine of God. You say, "Well, what are you talking about, Simon?" Well, I was called to preach. What was I called to preach? Yeah, which is what? The doctrine. It's the message for today. Then come down to 1:15 of the same passage there of 1 Timothy. He says this. Paul says this. He said, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Well, that's why Christ came, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what Paul says. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, and honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, having which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwrecked. Of whom? What are you saying? Well, my point is that Timothy was called to preach, but he was to go down there and there was to be no other doctrine preached than the very fact that Jesus Christ had came, he died for our sins, he was buried and he rose again, amen, and that's the doctrine. God calls a man or a woman into the ministry, he calls them into the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen. And there needs to be more of a protection on the message for today as much as it was for Jeremiah, because that's what he said to Timothy. He said, preach the word in season, out of season, lest they be turned into what? Fables. Amen. So what do you mean, Brother Simon? It's quite simple. Is that when you got saved and you believed the word of God, through the preaching of the word of God, God helps us to stand strong in the doctrine that saved us. As believers, we do not have a false religion. Would you agree with me? I don't have a set of do's and don'ts. I don't have something that I need to always aspire to somehow please the Lord. I just need to keep in mind that he died for my sins, he was buried and rose again, amen. We have the atonement. There's enough going around today that's putting a lot of extra stuff on believers which they don't need to believe. And the reason that is that we've moved into a place now where the protection of God's word is not where it used to be. You used to be able to walk into any church at one time and there was one thing you would leave. You'd either enter that building and you'd enter this way. You'd either feel good about yourself and you walk out of that building feeling a little bit different about yourself. What do you mean? People didn't come to church to get entertained. Yeah, amen. Well, they came to church to get saved. Well, thank the Lord for that. And the reason that is because the reason is the message has changed so much that somehow along the line that people have been turned into fables. It's not true. How many times as a pastor do I deal with this all the time? And I'm dealing with a thing where it's almost like there's no reality. It's not like this is not true. It's almost like they've created a God that is, it's just not real. Since you've been saved, have you suffered? John's laughing, I don't know why. Maybe I'm the... what do you mean? What I'm trying to say to you is that we've got this sort of hype now that somehow you're just going to go through your Christian life and everything's going to be smooth and sweet and wonderful. I wish that was true, amen? But it's not so much that. It's that Zedekiah didn't hearken unto the word of God. And can I say this? The lesson I got from Zedekiah was this. If the Lord speaks to you, and he shows you light from his word, don't worry about what other people will think. Obey it and hearken unto the light God gives you. Because that light that God gives you could make a whole difference in the life you have. Zedekiah didn't hearken to the light that God had given him. He ended up in a big mess. You know, funny thing, Jess, I was thinking of you when I'm down here one day and Jess comes and sees me, right? And she's a real mess. Well, she's not really, but she's talking to me about stuff. And isn't it something today? You know, God, she just comes to church and says, God's got her a house. Amen. What do you mean? I just sometimes think when God brings us brings us into around his word, and for somehow we seem to hearken unto it, and there's no rhyme or reason why we do, and yet all of a sudden the Lord seems to step in our lives and things happen that never happened before. And I really believe it comes right back to the very fact that we hearkened unto his word. I couldn't say it any more than how much I believe the Bible. Amen. And I'm so thankful that we have people here that have hearkened unto his word. Amen. And don't be fooled, and I think this is the point. Just because someone doesn't hearken to it, you know, you think, oh, well, their lives look really wonderful. For a time it does. Let's close on our last hymn, which is four, seven, three. Thanks, John.